Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Won't you lift your hands to Him? Father, I pray across this auditorium. Father, for everybody watching us online. Father, I pray for every single person. We exalt you, King Jesus. We exalt you, the one that was and is to come, the soon coming King. And Lord, we exalt you. We lift up the name of Jesus, our healer, our provider, our shelter, our strength, the one that is and is to come. And Lord, this morning we say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. Father, I pray, come of your power, come of your strength once again. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the God that is with us. Emmanuel, God of us. Father, 2021, Lord, as we almost draw out this year, Father, we are ready for a new touch. We are ready to see heaven invade earth. We are ready to see your kingdom manifest on this planet like never before. But in this church, in this morning, and across all our locations, Lord, we lift up the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We lift up the name of Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Healer, our Restorer, our Redeemer. We say we exalt you, Lord Jesus. There we are. Won't you just lift your hands to Him? Come on. Just for 20 seconds, just let's lift our hands to Him. Let's just surrender to Him. Harps, please, harps. Father, I thank you. As we just surrender to you, as we surrender to you, Father, we thank you that we can exalt you, King Jesus. Thank you that there's a name higher than another name, Lord. There's a name higher than circumstances. There's a name higher than the events that happen to us. There's a name that is higher than any other name. It's the name of Jesus. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And we exalt that name. We exalt the name of the one, our Jesus. Empower, just lift your hands just for 10 seconds. Come on, everybody in this house. Let's just exalt Him. Take 10 seconds of Jesus. Just take a moment. Father, I pray across this auditorium this morning. King Jesus, be magnified. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, be magnified in my life, in this day, in my family's life, in this day, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ 10 seconds of praise. Come on, Empower. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, won't you give the worship team also praise offering? They are awesome as always. So this day is a very special day for me. This day is a child dedication day. Amen. Oh, come on. If you know, to have children is a privilege. Yes, come on, parents. Now is the time to say amen to that and not say, I don't know. You have to say that it is a privilege to have children. It is the blessing of the Lord to have children. Amen. And so this morning I want to speak to you about that, and we're going to dedicate children to the Lord this morning. And I believe it's very, very important just to do all of these things today. And God spoke to me very, very specifically about today to do it, because I believe that before we go into December, it is very important that we dedicate our families. It's very important that we dedicate our children to the Lord. Amen. And I don't know who of you have done it before, who of you haven't done it. That's not really the question this morning. What's more important is that you have to understand God wants you and your household to be saved. Can I say that again? Come on. God wants you and your household to be saved. And so again, good morning to everybody watching us online, Durban, Cape Town, and all the TV stations. Good morning. And I want to start this morning at Luke chapter number 2, verse number 22. And I hope that In Luke chapter number 2, verse number 22, you may ask the question, where does dedication come from? What is a dedication? Well, very simple this morning is this. We have to understand that Jesus himself was dedicated. And we find this in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him. Please listen to that. To present him to the Lord. And the child grew and became strong. And he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God. I want you to see something here. It follows. They present him to the Lord. The child grew. He became strong. He was filled of wisdom. And the grace of God was on him. I want you to see that there's five elements. You present your child to the Lord. Then when you presented your child to the Lord, the Bible says the child grows up. All of us want our children to grow up. They become strong. They need to be filled with wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the chief thing. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1 says, above all, seek wisdom. Above all, make wisdom like a necklace around your neck. Make it your friend. Love wisdom, because in wisdom you get understanding. Out of understanding you get grace. Grace is the word charis. It means the divine enablement to do. It means the power to do. Amen. And if you know, in this season more than ever, we need grace. Oh, come on, Empower. Don't be so quiet. Talk back to me this morning. And so why are we doing child dedication this morning? Is because the scripture makes it clear. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 15. Even if I have 10,000 fathers in Christ, you do not have many fathers. You don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. And as I was preparing for today's message, I was thinking what to share with you. And I thought to share with you out of my heart and speak to you about the importance of raising your children right. Is that fine? Because the blessing of the Lord is this. God wants you and your children to be saved and your children's children to be saved. And God wants your whole household to be saved. God wants all of you to prosper. God wants you to be the head and not the tail. And your children should go further than what you've gone. That's called a legacy. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you there? And so, you know, I have three daughters. So I'm going to speak out of two dimensions to you this morning. I'm going to speak as a father and I'm going to speak as a son. Is that fine? And so I want you to understand. One of the first things I want you to know this morning is that we are living in a 100% corrupt culture right now. The environment that we are raising our children in right now, we have never seen what we have seen right now. Most of you that sit here, even myself, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we have not needed to face the giants that we are facing now. One of the greatest challenges in parenting right now is most of the giants that you are facing, you don't even know what you are facing. Because the rules of engagement have changed. We're living in an age and a time where your children can access anything with a drop of a hat. Are you there? And so culture has made the boundary shift a lot for our children. And even for us. Because culture, unfortunately, is trying to invade Christianity and is trying to tell you what is success. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's only one recipe for success, and that's the word of the Lord. Culture does not define success. The Word of God defines success. Are you there? Oh, come on, Empower. Be a little bit loud this morning. Because what we want to do this morning, we want to take our children back. We want to take our families back. They do not belong to the devil. They don't belong to the situation. They don't belong to this environment. Our children belong to the Lord. Can I have an amen for that, please? Yeah, come on. Just talk back to me. Otherwise, we're going to have a long morning here. I want you to understand that because culture has changed so much around you, that it's your and my goal is to optimize our children. In other words, we have to make sure that they get optimized in life. And as I was thinking with the Lord, the Bible, the Lord said this to me. He said, a child's scorecard, one of the things in culture that we see right now is you have to understand that we are placing incredible demands on children. Are you there? If you just think what we have been through in the last 18 months as adults, our worlds have been reshaped by a virus that many are afraid of still, and the game lines for families has changed. But I want to tell you this morning that we still have the power to put the stop and the pause button in place. Are you with me? Come on. If you know, you have the power over your circumstances. Yeah, God will not take us always out of the circumstances, but, you know, and as I was thinking about this, the Lord started to speak to me, and He said this: there's, you know, so many of us in today's culture, and I want you to know this, because so many of us, we place undue pressure on our children. And this morning, I'm going to help, and I'm going to give you advice, and I'm going to give you instruction, and I'm going to teach you how to help your child discover their purpose. I want you to know that your child is a living, breathing purpose that is walking on the planet. And God designed or chose you as a husband and or a wife to raise a purpose or to raise a child. Inside of the child is purpose. Inside of the child is potential. Are you there? And one of the things that we have to be able to understand is that we normally, when you had your first child, none of us were knowing or none of us knew what we were doing. If we're honest as parents, come on. When you had the first one, you know, you read up all the books, you bought all the prams. I still remember when we had our first daughter, we bought everything, everything. When we had the second child, we understood that we don't need everything that the books say we need. Come on, who are you with me? We bought the pram, the extra. We bought everything that they say you need to have. And then you find out, no, children don't need all of that stuff. Come on. So when we had our second one, we didn't do all of that. And our challenge of parenting is this. You need to be able to take your child from the back seat to the front seat successfully. Because when you have a child, you need to put them in the back seat. And your challenge is to take them out of the baby seat in the back and put them behind the steering wheel of life successfully. Oh, do I have some witnesses here this morning? But if you keep your child in the back seat and they should be in the driving seat already, you have a problem in your hands. Oh. And so when we had our third child, I think we barely used prams because we understood that children can be carried. They can do many things by it. We can help. Are you there? I remember with our first daughter, just to be real, that, you know, when she cried, we phoned the doctor so much. And eventually the doctors told us, listen, Mr. Barron, doctor, babies cry. So there's nothing wrong. Just relax. Oh, come on, who of you know what I'm talking about? And remember the first fever that our children had. You were freaked out when you had the first one. Then eventually you learn that children can have a little bit of Panadol and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And they will just be fine. Children are much stronger than what we think. Are you with me? But we're living in an age and in a society and in a culture that is rotten. We're in a rotten society. Right now, South Africa, do you know South Africa has got so much teen pregnancies? And we have to understand this is nothing to rejoice about. It tells you how rotten culture is. Because what should a child know about sex? Come on, can we be honest here this morning? Absolutely zero. They shouldn't be aware of these things right now. So our job as a parent is to get potential out of our children without breaking the product. Oh, can I say that? So your child is a product that comes to you, but inside of them, they have potential. Your job is to get that potential out. And may I be the first this morning to say, sometimes as parents, we get it wrong. And then we have to be big enough to apologize and to repent. Children do not follow what you say. Children follow what you love. Okay, are we strong here this morning? We cannot tell children, go and read your book while we watch TV for 5 hours. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody? Because why should they do extra curriculum education while you do nothing? You can say, I'm the boss. Exactly the problem. Oh. Because children, listen, we cannot tell children they cannot drink, but we drink. We cannot tell children they can't party, but we party. We can't tell children to be well-disciplined, but be ill-disciplined. The onus lies on the parents. Oh, come on, I know. I'm talking to myself. So I cannot expect that what I don't do. Can't tell them to clean their rooms if mine is undone. Okay, come on, are you strong? I love you. As I talk truth to you, say to your neighbor, relax. We're going to get through this. Listen, you have to understand, as I was thinking about this, I read up quite a bit about this, and one of the things that I found was this, is that from the time the children get raised, from the time a child comes onto the earth, you have to know a child comes without any form of limitation. In other words, they come with no limitation to the planet. They need to be taught limitations. Are you there? They come as a blank sheet, as a blanket paper onto this planet, and our job is to educate them so that potential can come out. You can ask this morning as I was with this, the Lord said this to me. He said, from the earliest ages, we tell children limitations. Where we should empower them, there's no limitations. Okay? Let me go a little bit further. It's how we view these things. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. Let kids be kids. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, let kids be kids. Don't make a child a small adult. Let kids be kids. Parents, can I give you a tip this morning? Let kids be kids. Take the iPad, take the phone, let them play. They will learn more in breaking 12 of your eggs than what they can learn from the iPad. Listen, I'm not, you can say, oh, Pastor, you know, yes, because, oh, yes, oh, no, no, no. I believe in technology, but technology is not a replacement for parenting. No. Let them play. Are you there? We all played. We didn't have iPads. We didn't have the latest phones. I got my first cell phone in 2002. And that was the time, literally, that, you know, the cell phones were still the size of bricks. You remember that? You know, it was a phone and a weapon. Come on, who of you remember that? These days, things are so slim and whatever. And so, you know, I want you to understand that we cannot replace parenting, even though the society are challenging us to do so. Because society, and I want to be on the parent side this morning as well, the demands of our life today is unknown. We have never been here. We have never seen what we've seen right now. None of us have ever lived through a pandemic. None of us have ever been here. And so there's a lot of grace for you. Are you there? A lot of grace. And so this morning, we just want to greet One Gospel Channel as you guys go. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. And One Gospel, take this message to South Africa. Amen. Let me go on. I wrote here, I said, your job is to teach your children godly habits. And godly habits become godly patterns. Godly patterns becomes a godly lifestyle. And the Lord said this to me. He said, little by little, teach them to conquer the land. Little by little. Little by little. As I was writing this down, come on, is this talking to you? Come on, it's not. It's speaking to me as I was preparing it. Then the Lord said this to me. He says, do not fear your children's failure. Do not fear your children's failure. In other words, do not fear that your child will fail based on a scorecard. Because so many of us as parents, come on, can we be real this morning just for a moment? But so many of us, we look at the scorecard as a reflection of who our children are. And I want to tell you parents, you have to understand that the educational system, as best that it is, it's flawed when it comes to the real potential of your child. Your child's real potential is not equal to the scorecard. It's not equal to what the principal has said and what the teacher has said. Your children's potential is equal to what the Lord has placed in them. and the scorecard. Listen, because what do you do? What do you do? Come on, let's be real this morning. What do you do if you're sort of a child that doesn't fit the box, that doesn't fit the mold, that doesn't fit the scorecard? Are they now a reject? No, some of the most brilliant of children don't fit the molds. Just because they don't bloom at grade 10 and grade 11 and grade 12 doesn't mean they won't be successful in life. You know, I know millionaires that doesn't even have a grade 12. And I'm not advocating don't go to school. I'm saying go to school. We have a school. Go to school. Education is costly, but ignorance will cost you more. Can I say that again? Education is costly, but so is ignorance. So teach your children. Teach them in the way that they should go, and they will return to it. The Bible says, oh, come on. But I want you to understand, there's many parents sitting here, your child does not fit the mold. They don't fit the structure. They don't fit the system. And here's the good news, they don't need to. They don't need to. You might just sit with a little genius on your hands. And that little genius might like a magnifying glass more than what he likes to hang out with friends. That doesn't mean he's an outcast and a reject. Who are people to define who we are? No, we are who the Lord made us to be. And our job is to get that potential out. And I can talk to you out of my own life and I can tell you many things. When I was at school, one of the things that one of my teachers said this, my English teacher, she said, you know, before you're the age of 21, you'll most likely be in prison. I brought that lady to the Lord when I was 24. True story. When I wrote my first Christian book, I gave her to edit it. And she got saved editing my book. Yeah. And for me as well, you don't always need to excel early. Come on. Let's take the pressure off. Let kids be kids. Oh, come on. Can I have an amen for that? Listen, moms and dad, let me give you truth this morning. Moms, don't put the pressure on your children. Don't tell your children about the issues between you and your husband. You're putting them in a space that they shouldn't be. They are not adults, they're children. Let them be children. Dad's the same. Don't tell your children about your wife's issues. Asseblieft, stay away. They're children. Are you there? Oh, come on, can I have an amen online? Come on, guys, come on, come on. I see so many people online comment. Then I wrote down, I said, there's a common fear that if a parent is not involved in every area of a child's life, that they won't succeed. Can I give you the truth? You don't need to be involved everywhere. You just need to be present. There's a difference between control and being present. And what you want is you have to be present. You don't need to control everything. Because if you're going to try to control everything, you are teaching them what to kick against when they leave you. Yeah, Pastor. Amen. Come on. Be present in the moment. Oh, come on. Oh, is there parents with me? The greatest gift you can give your children is the courage to be. The courage to be. What does that mean? It means don't take your children out of the situation. Teach them to have courage in the situation. When they have bad friends at school, don't remove them out of the school. Teach them courage to face bad friends. When they have a bad teacher, don't just take the teacher out like I know you guys want to. No, teach your child how to stand up. Yeah, come on. I know you guys, you want to sit in the parking lot, watch the teacher when she comes out, drive suddenly and yeah, bumper, I know. But can't do that. What we can do is we can take our children and we can raise them strong and confident and valiant and powerful and invincible. And we can tell them all things are possible. We can tell them that they are winners, they are overcomers. We can tell them they are not defined by what that teacher says in front of that class. We can tell them they are who the Lord say they are. Come on, we can teach them to be valiant. But don't remove them. Because by removal, you are denying them of the process of growing up. You can't fight their battles for them. Let them grow up. Let them teach them to be strong. Are you there? The courage to be. Courage to be what? The courage to be themselves. They don't need, listen, so often parents relive their own failed dreams in their children. Come on, isn't that so? Moms and dads wanted to be superstars in sport and you didn't have the discipline. Now you're trying to force that upon your child. No, leave it. That child is autistic by nature. Let them do art and have the courage to be an artist. Oh, can I have... Oh, Pastor Herbert, the Children's Church pastor, you better shout this morning. I need to hear you shout. Agree with me. Because listen, if we don't teach our children the courage to be what the Lord made them to be, we're going to make ourselves, and you don't want to make a mini you. Because otherwise they're going to fight the same battles. They're going to see the same giants. No, teach your children in the way that they should follow. Think about it like this. If I would teach a 21-year-old version of myself lessons of life, there's many things I'll teach myself. For an example, save money. Don't spend money on stuff you don't need. Two, don't hang out with wrong friends. Three, stop trying to impress people. Four, leave and loose and walk away from the fear of man. There's some stuff I'll tell myself. Are you there? It's true. And I want to exhort you this morning as parents and say the greatest gift that you can give your children is the courage to be. And as I was thinking about this, the Lord gave me another one. He said, and when you discipline your children, they shouldn't see discipline as punishment. They should see discipline as discipleship. You see, what is the difference between discipline and discipleship? Indiscipline, it's this. Discipline means there's day bad. Let me rather use another terminology. Don't punish your children. Discipline them. Punishment means day bad. Discipline means I'm discipling you because you're better. There's a difference. Punishment is you're bad. That's a label. You don't get bad children. Okay, let's sink in. You don't get bad children. Doesn't exist. You get bad decisions and bad events that cause bad products or bad patterns in children. But you don't get something like a bad child. Because then all of us will never see heaven. Come on, we are all children of God, by the way. God didn't punish us, but He does disciple us. He disciplines all that He loves. Why? He's discipling we are better. And I said, when you discipline your children, disciple them. Disciplement means that your child follow your lifestyle and follow your ways. Not because they are forced to, but because they want to. Because as you sit here this morning with your children, we're going to get there just now in a moment or two from now. You have to know that your success is if your children do not repeat what you've done. In other words, if your children are quicker in the road of success than what you are, you're successful. Yeah, come on. And so... Are you okay? Are you strong? Because as I was writing this, the Lord gave me this, and He said, the reality is some parents are parenting themselves still while they want to parent children. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, so many of us, we are still struggling to grow up ourselves. And now we have children. That's why children should come at the proper time. And may I just say this morning, when you have children in life, listen, you can never ever 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 say that a child comes unplanned. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I understand that children can come. You don't plan for a child. But you have to understand, once a child comes onto the scene, your life has shifted. It changed. And then if we get ourselves into trouble, we can't put it on the children. It's because we had you. Yeah. So many parents do that. Come on, we put it back on the child. How many children are not walking around? Listen, what are we seeing right now? I was shocked when I saw girls 10 to 12 years old in the News 24. 10 to 12 years old having babies. Should that not freak us out? Come on, they are babies themselves. Come on, church, can we be real this morning? But why are young girls putting themselves out for sexual intimacy? You know why? Because there's affirmation that's missing. Fatherhood that's missing. Now children go out and they go look for it in the arms of other children. That's not. Come on, how twisted should you be as an older person to have sexual intimacy with a child? Come on, that's sin. It's wickedness in front of the eyes of the Lord. Oh, can I preach it like it is? It's sin is sin. We can color code it. We can say what it is. Sin is sin. Sin, it's wrong. Parents, are you strong this morning? I'm talking to you as a father. We have to show by example. The way we live our lives, the way you read your Bible, the way you pray, the way you love, the way you show honor to other people. If you gossip about people, if you slander other people, you are creating a critical spirit in your child. If you have bad spending habits and you make debt all the time, your children are going to live in that. Are you there? So many children are, the only thing that they hear is about money. Money does not make the world turn. Values do. It's true. I said love unconditionally, love without a checklist, this prescribed checklist. Listen, we have a checklist with so many of our children. We, and don't look so holy this morning. I know you have a checklist. We want our children to do certain stuff. And listen, there's nothing wrong with the checklist. I'm just saying to you that that's not the full definition. For example, when we grew up as children, when I grew up as a child, my dad forced me to church. There was not a maybe. It was either you're going with us or I'll beat you twice and then you go. But going, you're going. We even went to church on holidays. Who does that? I'm like, God knows we're on holiday. He's like, no, church on a Sunday. Said the people that know us, said, I don't care, church. He said, because me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's true. We sat there with our pluckies back in the churches. He said, stand, we stand. Now so that habit is a pattern in my own life. When Sunday comes, I don't lie in my bed and say, oh, thank you, Lord, that it's like a volk baiter, I can not slap. No, church. Why? I've been trained like that. He taught me the value of being amongst other believers. He taught me the value of community. He taught me the value of loving the Lord. He taught me principle of church. Oh, come on. May I remind you that the Bible says that they that dwell in the house of the Lord shall have His goodness following them all the days of their lives. Amen. Those that dwell in the house of the Lord. Father, we pray for Africa this morning. Again, we bless Faith TV as they go. And Father, I speak over Africa this morning that you not just hear this word, but do this word. And we bless Faith TV in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you with me? Can I go for 2, 4, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 100 minutes? Is that fine? Okay. Let me go for this. I've got just a few left and I'm going to demonstrate for you now what I want to get to. I sat with a man the other day. I thought I'll tell you the story. I sat with a man the other day. He said, Gebhard, all that I ever wanted was to give my family safety. He worked from 9 to 9 every day. Good man. See, it's become, society rules have shifted so much. Good man sat crying, one of my friends crying, good man. Worked his bum off, created a house, created income. But he made one mistake. He never created a home. He had the brick and the mortar, but he didn't make it a home. And so he lost his home and he got stuck with the house. His wife wanted 50%, by the way, of the brick and the mortar. And he said to me, crying, what should I do? All I want is my home back. I said, let's start at the start where you failed. Let's go back to the grace place. And as I sat with him and we talked, he said, nobody taught me to be emotionally available. Nobody taught me to be present. Nobody taught me to hug. I was taught to work. You know what saved him? And by the way, he got his wife back and his children. You know what saved him? Is I could have a discussion with him and say, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. You were taught wrong. So let's make a home again. And he won his wife's heart back, by the way. And he got his children back. I want to say to you this morning, don't make the mistake of having a house but not a home. Home is where people are at. Houses sleep cold. Maybe 3, 4, 5 points and I'll be done. I'm going to pray for your children. Parents, are you listening to me this morning? Don't teach your children money. Teach them meaning. Because otherwise they will run after money, but they will have no meaning. Money means nothing if it's in the hands of somebody without any values. Because all that finances will do, it will increase the deficit of character. Teach them meaning. And they will be increased. God will bless them like crazy. But they have to understand why God wants to bless them. They have to understand the meaning of money. Can I tell you what's the meaning of money? I'll give it to you very easy. Freedom. Money is not a definition of who you are. Money is not your identity. Money is just freedom. Wealth is freedom. That's it. Bottom line. Teach your children values. Teach your children meaning. But don't teach them that they'll be happy when they have money, because that's a lie. No, teach them meaning and money will follow them. Yeah, come on, can we talk about that? You want your children blessed, right? Then show them the principles of good stewardship. Teach them how to steward well. Don't you go and buy the massive TV, but you actually only need one. Size close. Come on, I know my church. Next week, this week coming, there's sales everywhere. Can I say something as a father this morning? Resist the urge to go into debt. B- Because nobody cares if you have a 65 inch or a 55 inch or a 40 inch or a 30 inch. It's the same show playing on that thing. Oh, come on. The only time you feel good, let's talk about that for a moment. The only time you feel good is pushing that thing out of game. You're like, yeah, mine is bigger than yours. Who cares? But because if you don't pay it, somebody's going to call you. Yeah, and it's not going to be your wife or your grandmother. It's going to be the debt collector saying, hey, China, where's the TV money? And you're going to forget the feeling of the adrenaline when you walked out. Yeah, it's true what I'm saying. Come on, am I preaching right? Yeah. Come on, be free rather. Because here's the truth about it. When January comes, it's going to be even cheaper. That's truth. So wait for January. Let all the guys do what they do. And you walk in there like a boss, January, when everybody is praying for God to multiply the ketchup. Then you walk in there like a boss. You're like, yeah, I see it's a little bit empty here in here now. Because you guys don't have money. But I have money. Be clever in life. Come on, can I just talk honestly of you? I'm going to watch for you. Don't be you, one of the guys standing in line 5 o'clock in the morning. Niaman, where's our value systems in life? I can see I'm touching a nerve there. That's fun. Yeah, but you will say, but Pastor, we've waited for the sale. Listen, I'm telling you, there will be a bigger sale in January. And if you guys, listen, let me get myself out of trouble. If you want to do it, bless you. I'll pray for you. If you want to, but now you have an image, right? You're going to feel guilty now when you walk out of that big TV. You're going to like, do me a favor. If you buy it, send me a picture. I'll come and watch TV with you, okay? Listen to your joy. If you want your children to be somebody, do not have them defined by the model of what you are only. And when I wrote this down, the Lord said this to me, very simple. Be everything that your child needs at the different intervals that they need you. In other words, when your child is small and they're rolling in the grass, be a roller in the grass. When your child is swinging on the swing, swing with them. Don't grow up that quickly. But when your child starts to be 16 and 15 and they grow up and they have cool friends, you be cool. Are you with me? Then it's not the time to show up in your pajamas and say, hey, can I tell you the story? My dad did that to me once. Come on, he's in heaven, so that's fine. Can I tell you the story? Do you want to know the story? So I was a cool kid. Why are you sounding surprised? So I had a nice girlfriend. I was walking out of the schoolyard, and you know, we were holding hands, nothing more than that. Just innocent. She was pretty. And my dad and his older brother decided to come and pick me up with my dad's oldest brother, this weird car. And my dad had rugby shorts on with a vest. And I don't know what they did that day, but they were full of oil. And yeah, I come walking out, cool kid. And he, at the entrance of the school, shouts, hey! And my uncle whistles. And they shout my name. And the girl next to me is like, who's that? I'm like, I don't know. I like turned around and walked back into the school. I walked home. Never again. I told my dad at home, what the hell? What were you thinking? It's like you walked all of this way. I said my pride was with me as I was walking. Thank you very much. I'm not that good. You're going to steal my mojo. Listen, parents, be cool. Are you there? Be cool. Asseblief. Just be cool. My daughter had a party the other day, and you know, there's these boys there, and they had all these V-neck shirts, and they were doing push-ups. And I was confused, to be honest, because I was walking around there. I can tell you this. Can I tell you another story? So I was walking around there. I was just checking out because I knew how I was when I was 15. So I know there's hormones and demons mixed. So I'm walking around there with lights everywhere. And then they dance, and then they swim, and then the boys do push-ups. I'm like, I'm confused. But I was present. And I was cool. Come on, be the cool parent. Amen. Oh, come on, say amen to that. Yeah, be the cool parent. And so this is what I felt the Lord say to me. There's areas in your life when parenting where you have to say to your child, stop. There's areas that you have to say, stop. If your child is with the wrong friends, stop. If your child have shown of depression, isolation, anxiety, stop. If there's signs of alcoholism, abuse, if there's signs of them cutting themselves, if there's signs of these things, it's a big, massive stop sign. You need to stop and show attention. Are you there? So there's things that you need to look for, and you need to throw a stop sign into it, a massive stop, because they're flagging you. And if you ignore the stop signs, you are going to get that child and yourself into trouble. Don't ignore the stop signs. Come on, are you there? Don't ignore the stop signs. There's stop signs. We need to look for it. Then there's certain things that you, and we have family this morning, but when your child reaches the age of 21, and they still can't do certain things for themselves, it is a time for you to give them the go sign. When they're 21 and they still can't do finances well, then you can't continuously save them out of it, because you're stopping them from maturity. No, you need to let go. Come on. So there's go signs. One of the greatest go signs in parenting is this. Be the parent that's there and present and say, go. Go at life. Give everything you have. Be the best that you can be. Go for it. Don't teach them limitations. If they say, Dad, I feel I need to play guitar, let them play guitar. Don't stop everything. Come on, we do this wrong. We sometimes say, no, mathematics. Listen, not all children need to be good at mathematics. Some of them are going to be brilliant at art. Learn the art to stop and learn the art to go. Come on, are you there? Young people, let me give you some hope. I was 31 when I got my MBA. I was 37 or 36 when they gave me an honorary doctorate. That's late. Late in life. So you don't need to fit every single mold. Yeah. Let the doctor talk to you. Then there's some areas that you have to yield. Yield. You can't control all of it. If you're going to try, you know what they're going to do? Your child is going to throw the stop sign at you. Come on. You can't study for your child. But if you didn't learn the art of yielding at the right times, what's going to happen is that child is going to throw you a stop sign. Let me tell you another story. Come on, is this sermon good? Are you learning? Are you learning? Moms and dads, you can get almost ready in a minute from now. Can I tell you the honest thing in 2021? Because parenting has become so difficult, we don't know when to stop. We don't even know sometimes when to go. We don't know how to yield. And that is why we need Jesus more than ever before. We really need the Lord's help. It's important. Last one, I'm done. I would want to say these are the three arts of parenting. Stop, go, yield. Are you there? I've got much more, but my time is catching me this morning. I want to quickly run through this, just these one or two things and say this. Parents, this morning, make a decision as we come out this morning. Make a decision that you want to get along with one another. Get along. Can I tell you the truth? In 47 years, my mom and dad was 47 years married. I never saw them fight in front of me. I know they fight. I just didn't see it. Don't put that pressure on your children. Then moms and dads, show physical affection. The PG rated one. Are you there? I was a young boy about 10. My dad French kissed my mom one time in front of me. I was shocked. I was like, what the heavens are you doing? Come on. But mom, dad, show affection in your house. Your house should be a house of affection. I don't have time for the others. Quality time. I'll teach you about that another day. Then can I say this? I felt to say it this morning. Don't make your children the center of your universe. It's going to make them feel entitled. Don't make them the center. The truth is, love the Lord your God. Love your husband. Love your wife. Love your children. If you make your children the center of your universe, what's going to happen? They're going to grow old. You and your husband would have grown apart. And when they leave, you have nothing. Then lastly, give your children responsibilities. Let them make that bed. Let them mop the floor. Let them clean the car. Give them responsibilities. Yeah, all the parents will say, amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor. You've got me right there. I'm going to give away a lot of responsibilities right now. Vacuum, come. Give away responsibilities. But I have a hook for you because I knew you would like that one. As you give responsibilities, you can't give responsibilities away without reward to the responsibility. But let me go a step further. When you give a reward for the responsibility shown, you have to actually look at how they steward what they've been rewarded for. Because if they can't steward the reward, you are teaching them to fail when they get their salaries. Teach your children stewardship. Here's 100 rand. 10 rand goes to God. 90 rand. This is how you do it. Come on. Teach them stewardship. Teach them. Give them 1,000 rand. Don't go buy that. Let me teach you how to steward. Think about it. They will become success because you've stewarded, you've taught them. Are you there? Amen? And so this morning I want to get to the place that we do want to get to, and that's to, and that is to present your children before the Lord. And I believe as we present your children before the Lord, this is a holy thing that we're busy doing. This is not a play. This is holy. I presented all my children before the Lord. You guys can remove those props and the worship team can come. And what we're doing this morning is a holy act before the Lord, because we are going to present our children before the King of Kings and ourselves and our family before Him. Are you there? And what you're essentially doing, you are giving back what came from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. By the way, I just feel to say this prophetically. If you've had an abortion or lost a baby, Jesus doesn't lose babies. That child is waiting for you. It's true. If you had a failed pregnancy, that child is waiting for you. And so this morning, I want the parents first to stand, because I want to pray for the parents first. And then what we're going to do, I'm going to ask you to, as parents, respond with your children out, and we're going to anoint your children. The Bible says if your children are anointed by the Lord, no man can curse them. It's true. Come on, do you believe that? When I was a young boy, my dad would often come into my room just before we slept at night. He'll anoint my head. My mom, for almost 37 years of my life, she prayed Psalm 87 over my life. She prayed, "He will prosper in all of his ways. His enemies will never get the best of him. He will always be protected. He will always be successful. Whatever he puts his hands to, he will conquer." My mom prayed that over me my whole life, every day. The truth is, you become what you pray for. When my children were just born, the first 3 years of their lives, I had a book written, a prophetic book I wrote myself. And we declared over their lives the word of the Lord. The whole time. Because I knew there would come a time that somebody else would want to say something. So parents, I want to pray for you first, because you have a massive task on your hands. So if you're saying, "Pastor, I need grace to parent right," then won't you stand? On, there's many people standing. Would you lift your hands, parents? Father, I want to pray on all of these many, many parents standing this morning. Father, I want to pray over their lives in this day, Lord Jesus. Father, that every single one of them will experience your supernatural grace. Whether they are a single parent, whether they are a mom and a dad together, Father, I pray for grace to be effective parents in that what you've called them to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that they are the head and not the tail. And Lord, this morning we pray for supernatural grace, wisdom, understanding, insight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for everybody watching us online. Father, I pray that even them, that they will experience your grace right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just release your grace upon parents in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.